This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so for this week, what we get for number five?
We've got the Wildlife Photographer of the Year. And this guy, Yang Qing Bao, took a photo of a marmot about to get smoked by this coyote. And it's honestly incredible. Oh, I guess it's a fox. Sorry, it's a fox. It's a fox. But this marmot is, he catches it at the perfect time of this marmot realizing its ultimate demise. And he's doing this like Heisman pose with his right hand and a total jaw-dropping gaze with his mouth and with his head. And he's just like, oh my God, it's so incredibly interesting and mind-blowing and cool. I've never seen a photo like it before. And it just, like, Yang Qing was just like, yeah, it took me like several hours to get the right shot. Like, yeah, even though the fact that you waited, of course, and you got this shot, and you're doing the Heisman pose, it's great. Unfortunately, I think the marmot, I've heard that the marmot dies. So it's kind of bum. But, you know, the fox has to eat his prey. Incredible photo. There's also some other ones. The junior category is this squid, this bioluminescent squid in the middle of the darkness of the depths of the ocean. And it's awesome. The contest received more than 48,000 entries. So I'm like, man, there's got to be some other gems in there. But it's been going on since 1964. 100 countries have submitted, and yeah, it's organized by London's Natural History Museum. But if you haven't seen the photo, it's honestly awesome, man. This marmot is just like, yo, what is up?
I thought it was a gopher. Like, I remember seeing the picture, but I was like, oh, that's a gopher?
Oh.
No, it's, but it's a marmot,
like,
right?
A gopher, kind of like a Caddyshack type,
yeah,
situation.
Exactly.
I've heard it is a marmot.
Okay. So 48,000 photos. Do we get to see all of them? Like, are they available online? That would be pretty cool.
That's a good cue. That would be cool. I know. There's probably some really sick ones. There's probably really stupid ones in there as well. Yeah, I'd like to see them. And I also like to know, like, how long does it take you to look through 48,000 photos?
Yeah,
that's a
right.
Lot of pics. Okay. But then I'm thinking, like, man, how many photos do we scroll through on Instagram on a regular basis, just like before bed, scrolling through stuff? I feel like 48,000 maybe actually. Just a couple days work on the old gram with the old thumbs.
Could you imagine the meme potential for those photos? I mean, if we have one like the marmot and the fox, I bet there's some really good ones, like a goofy looking dog or something, right?
Totally, like a weird sheep. There's actually another one that I saw of like these two bighorn sheep like embracing one another, which was pretty nice. And then there was another one of like this leopard just taking down, kind of looked like a llama. I forget, it wasn't a llama, though. And it was just like, the llama was just like, all right, yeah, I'm out. He's got me by the neck. Like, there's, see you later. I'm out of here.
Where can we find these pictures?
I don't know. Google them. I mean, it's put out by London's Natural History Museum. The way that I thought, yeah, I just searched Wildlife Photographer of the Year. And there was a really awesome New York Times article that kind of walked you through the process, and it showcased some of the photos, obviously the winning one. But it's really cool. And it's also just like, showing this just raw depiction of animalistic qualities is...
Well, if you haven't seen it, people, go check it out. What did we get for number four?
We've got Jennifer Aniston, and she joined Instagram over the past week, and she actually broke the platform for a little bit. Not really broke Instagram, but it did. The platform did experience glitches because so many people were trying to follow her so quickly that people were unable to. So Instagram actually confirmed a glitch, and they're like, well, it's been fixed now, whatever. She's the Guinness Book of World Record holder for gaining 1 million followers in the fastest amount of time. Took her just 5 hours and 16 minutes, which is insane. The previous record holders were Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And it's funny, like, Courtney Cox posted a photo, and it said, welcome to Instagram, or welcome to social media. It sucks. You're going to love it, which... Any Friends fans out there knows that that is what Monica said to Rachel when she cut up her credit cards and said, welcome to the real world. It sucks. You're going to love it. And it's awesome. I mean, she's got, as of last night when I was checking last, she got 13 million followers. Everybody loves Jennifer Aniston. And now you can follow her on Instagram. She got 3 posts. They're all cute.
Yeah, wasn't the first picture with the entire cast of Friends?
entire cast friends, little selfie action going on. She does follow the entire cast friends that have Instagrams. Matt Perry doesn't. Yeah, the first was a selfie, which is cool because it looked like they're all like, hey, Matt, looks like kind of a real-time type situation. Maybe they're all hanging out and they're like, hey, join Instagram. And they took a picture and she posted it. So, yeah, it was cute.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little shocked that Jennifer Aniston wasn't part of Instagram to begin with. Does she have a Twitter? I don't know now. What's happening?
Man, I don't know if she has Twitter. I haven't seen it. Yeah, she was actually on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and she said that she was the most reluctant person ever to join Instagram. And then they were like, okay, well, then why did you join it? And she was like, what? You resist, persist. So what the hey? She obviously has a ton of followers now. She's got a great platform for herself, but I don't know. Instagram, good and bad. I have a love-hate relationship with it.
I think everybody does. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. It's great. I've seen so many cool things on there, but sometimes it makes me sad because I'm like, I want your life.
Well, we're number three.
We've got the Pixel 4. And this is Google's new phone that we unveiled this past Tuesday at a big event here in New York City. But it's trending because people, you know, it's our latest smartphone. People are pretty stoked on it. There's all these really cool features out there. Like night sight's got a little bit better, which is camera's ability to take these incredible photos in low light situations. You've got this thing called motion sense, which is like gesture controls with the phone. So say it's like sitting on the desk and the alarm goes off. You just put your hand over it, turn the alarm off. Kind of feels like you using the force like in Star Wars, or you're listening to music, you can just swipe your hand over the top of it and it will change the song for you. But it comes in two sizes, the Pixel 4, the Pixel 4 XL. I'm stoked on it. I got to play with it a little bit before launch because what's up? I work at Google, but it's great. I have one. It's awesome. And yeah, people were searching.
Oh, out of curiosity, will it have like 5G capabilities or no?
I think that maybe depends on the carrier. No? I'm not sure. I think that it probably has those capabilities, but if your carrier doesn't support 5G, probably not.
I'm looking for a new phone. That's why I'm asking. And I was looking at Pixel 4 or iPhone 11. I'm split. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, ugh. But which one is 5G? Because that's the new big thing, is that all cell phone carriers are going to go to 5G. But the cell phones have to have the capabilities. If they don't have the capabilities, you won't be able to be on the 5G network. And it's like, ugh.
Right.
You remember what happened with 4G? If the phones weren't 4G, it was just that was it. And you were stuck with like 3G with horrible reception. And I was like, I'm not doing this again.
3G is worthless.
It was.
You know, I'm going to assume that it is 5G, or, yeah, 5G capable. I mean, it's the newest iteration, especially with the iPhone, too. Like, they've got to be able to support that type of stuff. So, I don't know. I'm not guaranteeing it, but, you know, hit the Google app to ask, but should be. It's a good phone. And it comes in cool colors and stuff. The photography aspect is pretty sick. Take some good pics, especially that nighttime, man. It gets me fired up.
Yeah, those nighttime pics are really wild. Like, where does the light come from?
I know. They use artificial intelligence to enhance the images. It's pretty sweet. And there's also some astrophotography type features as well, which actually takes into account the rotation of the Earth so you can take sick photos of the stars. I mean, what is up? Is that futuristic? Yup.
You know, I like all the bells and whistles, but I'm going to tell you, I probably won't use like 3/4 of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that, yeah, you probably won't use, probably don't even know, but the crux of it, you know, it's it appeals to all.
What we get for number two?
We got earthquakes, and there's been a series that have hit California this past week, and then California actually came out and was like, yo, what's up? We actually are implementing some sort of early warning system through this app called MyShake, which I think is kind of a ridiculous name, but, you know, it makes sense. And then also traditional kind of wireless notification systems, like they send out Amber Alerts on. And that is going to hopefully alert citizens in affected areas before the quake actually hits. They're using different seismic sensors. And it's not going to be, like, the thing is, it's not going to be that early of a warning. So you're not going to have time to, like, pack up, leave, go to a safe place. But it's just going to be like, hey, there's going to be an earthquake hitting. So, like, find cover immediately, which I think could be pretty sick. And it's interesting, too, because they unveiled that early warning system on the anniversary of the Loma Prieta earthquake, which ravaged the Bay Area in 1989. 6.9 magnitude earthquake, killed 63 people, injured over 3,700, and it caused $6 billion in damages. So I don't know. It sounds like they were trying to do that on the anniversary just to kind of create a little bit more buzz about this earthquake application that they have. But it came on the heels of a series of earthquakes this past week. So I don't know, it's a little bit scary over there, but having these early warning systems is obviously pretty crucial to reduce any kind of detrimental effects.
I've never experienced an earthquake before, so I wouldn't know. Where would you take cover at?
Anybody listening, don't take this as, you know, the Bible for earthquake safety, but I think that you're supposed to get underneath, like, the bridges of doors, I think, to, like, kind of more structural support, or, like, underneath tables, like, anything to prevent something from, like, falling on you, I think is a big thing, because they're shaking, some, you know, parts of the ceiling could fall, or some sort of light fixture, something like that, so I think just duck and cover is generally the advice there. I grew up in California, but I never really had much experience with earthquakes, knock on wood. But pretty scared. When I was in New Zealand, actually, that's when the big one hit Christchurch, and I felt that for sure. And that was pretty scary.
What did you do? Did you just be like, oh my God, earthquake, and then went on with your life?
That's the thing, is like, by the time you realize what's happening, it's basically over. Except for ones that are really long, and then that's scary. But I've never been in a situation like that. Basically, I just kind of woke up and was like, oh my God, Earth is shaking, and then it's done. But I think in longer ones, I don't know, it seems like it's hard to just not panic. But if you have these early warning systems, then you kind of brace yourself for what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God for the early warning systems, even like the tornado ones. I know for tornadoes, you're supposed to get in tubs, and you're supposed to put mattresses on top of you, right?
Or like in basements and stuff, too, right? Like a shelter. They've got shelters?
Yeah, I imagine.
Well, that's kind of more, more your neck of the woods, right? Midwest? Yeah. Get some stuff?
Now, Midwest... That is like Midwest generally, but Chicago? No. We got cold winters, and that we wear hoodies for. We're good.
True. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
What we get for number one?
We've got the Washington Nationals. They're headed to the World Series, first time ever. Congrats to all the Nats fans out there. Pretty awesome. They took the NL League Championship this past Tuesday, beat out the St. Louis Cardinals. And man, people are fired up over there because, first time it's ever been there for the Nationals, which is extremely exciting. World Series is going to begin on October 22nd. That's coming in pretty hot. We got 4 days. They don't know who they're going to play yet. We got the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees trying to figure out who's going to take the top dog spot in the American League, but they still got some games to play. There was actually supposed to be a game played this Wednesday in New York, but we had a bunch of rain, so they postponed it. So they're a little bit behind schedule over in the AL. But it's exciting, man. I'm not the biggest baseball guy, but the World Series, you got to be stoked on it. And then also the Nats have this weird thing with that Baby Shark song, which is kind of annoying, but kind of cool. So their outfielder, Geraldo Parra, he used that song as the walk-up music in June, and now the whole crowd is just, like, fired up every time he gets up, and they do the big shark, like, kind of, like, motion with their hands. And It's cool. It's going to be a good World Series. I'm excited to see. I mean, I kind of hope the Yankees come out, because that'd be really fun to be in New York with your team in the World Series, so... I don't know
what that feels like. My team suck.
Yeah, who's your team? Are you White Sox fan?
White Sox or Chicago Cubs, whichever one can make it. Come on.
Right. Hey, well, Cubs won the World Series a couple years ago. You got to be fired up on that first time since, you know, over 100 years. So, big stuff.
Yeah, that
was, right? First time the Cubs won over 100 years, I think?
Yeah. They broke the curse, and then it's back again.
There you go. My team has never won. San Diego is the most tortured sports city in the world. I mean, like, the Padres made the World Series in 1997 when I was in third grade. We got swept by the Yankees. The Chargers have never made it to the Super Bowl, or at least not in my lifetime. And then they moved to L.A. Like, it's just the worst, man. I would just love to feel that type of excitement of having your team actually win it.
Oh, you know what? Going back to Washington Nationals, you have to look up Juan Soto. And the Soto shuffle, if you haven't seen it, it's the weirdest thing ever. He'll go up to bat, and he digs his toe in, and he's getting ready to swing. And if he doesn't miss, and it's a ball, he does a shuffle. And he grabs himself, and then he licks his lips, and he does this weird little shoulder thing. It's the strangest thing ever, but I want to see more of it because it's so wild.
Wow, I'm into that. I mean, baseball is such an interesting sport because every single person has their weird, like, routine that they do. It's such a routine-based sport. Like, the pitcher's got a routine. The catcher's got a routine. The base runners have a routine. The batters obviously have a routine. And so it obviously prolongs the game a little bit, but it's also very interesting to see these individual mannerisms. I haven't seen this Juan Soto shuffle, so I got to keep that.
It will make you laugh and make you go, what is he doing? Is this even legal? Honestly, I was like, I was expecting the ump to like throw him out. Like, that's too much, sir. Juan Soto, you need to stop.
I wonder if it maybe started at that. He's like, hey, I'm going to like do a little dance up here and see if they're like, hey, can you not? And then it just stuck. Push the envelope.
Well, you know, he was in the minor leagues and he did that. And he's only 21 years old. So he's a young guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's like a baby. But he's pretty. Great. He's really good. And I really like the Nationals. Like, they have really good energy. So I'm kind of rooting for them a little bit.
All right. I can see that.
So for the YouTube video, what we get for that?
We got the Fortnite Chapter 2 launch trailer. And this stuff's so interesting to me because Fortnite basically, like, you know, shut their game down this past week, and everybody was freaking out because there was a black hole and everything just got sucked into it. And I've seen a bunch of videos of kids like punching their TV screens and like freaking out because they're like, dude, what is happening with Fortnite? Everything's gone. This is terrible. But I guess it was all totally intentional. And they did that so they could introduce this new world, like the new world that is going to be now the Fortnite map. And the video trailer is really cool. Like, it looks really awesome. And I don't know, but I can't tell if that was a good move for them or not, because it seemed like it made people really, really, really mad. But for them to introduce an entirely new world for people to explore and people to play in, like, that's pretty fun. And obviously, it grabbed everybody's attention. So in terms of getting publicity for something, yes, you did a great job. In terms of making people mad, you also did a good job at that. So I don't know if it's going to play out right in the long run.
You know, what's unfortunate is that a lot of these people are new to like PC games or gaming in general. That was just a really big patch. Most games do that. Like, so if when World of Warcraft has a new expansion pack, bam, it's going to take you like a whole day to download. And then there's so many people coming on that, you know, it's oh my God, it's this big hoopla, 24 hours of just trying to play a game. And it's the same thing. So I was like, oh, this is like a server maintenance, big patch, expansion pack. Get over it. Okay. They're not going to get rid of a game that's making them billions of dollars.
Totally. Billions of dollars. Okay, so you think that people are going to forgive them and just be stoked on the new world?
Absolutely. That's a new map. Okay. Brand new. That's like quality of life right there. You need that for a game. You always need something to change so that players can keep coming back. And this is going to bring people to come back to Fortnite.
That's true. You don't want it to get stale. And the new map, I mean, I don't really know what the old map looked like. I've never played, but the new map looks sick. I'd like to check that out.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, always a pleasure.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.